This morning's scripture will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 21. Again, that's Luke chapter 16, 19 to 21. And the Bible is provided for you. It's on page 1013. Again, that's Luke 16, 19 through 21. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Sometimes you're just itching, you're shaking almost. You're so ready to preach, you're just shaking. I was outside shadow boxing. Y'all didn't know. I went. I have heard some preachers say, though, they get amped up over there. They be in the back room jumping around, shadow boxing, getting ready. That's not me, but I've heard it. Luke chapter 16. I might do it someday when I grow up. I might do it. I just might do it. Aren't you glad to be in the Lord? Isn't it a joy? Aren't you glad to know the truth? Have your right mind about you? What a blessing. You know this is a great time to be alive. It is. It's a great time to be alive. I guess that's true anytime you're alive, isn't it? Great time to be alive. Although the alternative is glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Good thing he had y'all seated on that one. That was stirring right there. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Luke chapter 16. How are you at taking advice? How are you at that? Rate yourself in your mind, 1 to 10. How do you do it? About a 5? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what your number is. The Lord. Have you ever heard somebody say, God is trying to tell you something? That's a song or something, isn't it? God is trying to tell you something. Listen, good people, this morning, God's trying to tell you something. It's found here in Luke chapter 16. Jesus gives a parable. Parable of things that either did happen or could happen. Sometimes people get sidetracked on what a parable is and they think they confuse it with a fable. Parables are not fables. Parables are simply truths that the Lord used illustrations to point out things that were true. A sower went to sow seed. Well, are there sowers? Yes. Are there seed? Yes. Is there soil? Yes. Everything about this is true. This either did happen or it could happen. And so if you call Luke 16 a parable, well, you're just stating the obvious. It's something that could happen or did happen. And the way our Lord teaches it, it did happen and it will yet happen. The rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16, 19 through 31. This morning, I'd like to share with you 4 points. The Lord is trying to tell us something. And it is something we all desperately need to hear and learn from our Lord. 4 points. The first point is this. Death comes for us all. There is not a person in here this morning who is not terminal. Everybody here has a condition. It's called life. And friends, life ends in death. That's just the way that works. Jesus teaches us that very thing here in Luke 16. The first three passages we had read, verses 19 to 21, simply began the parable. There was a rich man, fared sumptuously. He was clothed in purple. He fared sumptuously every day. I thought about that. You know, that wasn't always true of people, faring sumptuously every day. That's true of you and I, so much so that if we have to identify ourselves with anybody in this parable, it'd probably be the rich man. There are very few people in this building who could identify with Lazarus. There's very few people in this building laying at somebody's tables, desiring to be fed with crumbs. No, it's much more likely the case that in this rich, wonderful country in which we live, we fare sumptuously every day and we are clothed in purple and fine linen. I'm not saying you behave like the rich man. I'm simply saying of the two, our lives much more mirror his by way of prosperity and peace and provisions than they do Lazarus. Amen? This man fared sumptuously every day. There was a beggar that was at his table desiring to be fed with the crumbs. And Jesus says this in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And then this caveat, the rich man also died and was buried. Near the beginning of the Bible, God introduces us to a thought. That thought is death. Genesis 2, 15 through 17, he tells Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this tree, thou shalt surely die. We hadn't read that word before 2, 15 through 17. No, we read chapter 1, you won't read anything about death. And up to verse 14 in chapter 2, you won't read anything about death. But in verses 15 to 17, God introduces a new concept. You'll die. We don't actually know what that is really yet until we keep reading. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, after the fall, God says to them, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Death is coming for us all. Read a little further in the Bible and you'll run into more death. First, chapter 4, Cain murders his brother Abel. Abel is now dead. If you read chapter 5, you'll read a genealogy. And in that genealogy, you'll be introduced further to the thought of death. In fact, you'll be given people's names. This man begat that man, begat that man, begat that man. You'll be given their ages. He lived to be 900, 950, 969, 777. On and on it goes. And then after every man's name, eventually you'll get to this phrase, and he died. You haven't made it out of chapter 5 before you've talked a lot about death. God is trying to tell us something. We look back on human history. It confirms the same. Everybody dies. In fact, human history looks like a VH1 special. Where are they now? Dead. Go back and come forward, and all you have back there is death, death, and more death. Who resisted it? Nobody. Who succumbed to it? Everybody. What's it going to mean to you? Death is coming for us all. Some humans have come up with this notion that the one with the most toys wins. Let me tell you what happens to the one with the most toys. It's the same thing that happens to the one with no toys. They all die. What is Jesus trying to tell you this morning? You're going to die. Death's coming. Have you made plans? Rich and poor, young and old, male and female, we will die. Jesus said, the beggar died and the rich man died also. Which brings us to the next point. Our Lord teaches us. He's trying to tell us this, secondly, but we must live somewhere. The very next passage, Jesus says, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. Individuals who don't believe in God, well, they don't believe we have eternal souls. Let me ask you this. What do you believe? Do you believe in just the material? Do you believe man is just matter in motion? You believe he's like Rover. When he's dead all over. That's it. That's all. Nothing more. That's it. He simply evaporates out of existence. He exists no more. Is that what you believe? Or rather, did you come here believing this morning that you have a spirit, an immortal spirit? A spirit that will outlive your body. You see, if you believe that, well, then you appreciate, though death is coming for me, death is not going to end my existence by any stretch of the imagination. You also believe that. This too, the Bible has tried to teach us. Genesis 1, 26, 27, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. John 4, 23 through 24, we learn that the image of God is spirit. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 29, Paul tells us something wonderful. He says that we are the offspring of God. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1, Zechariah would add this thought, that God formed the spirit of man within him. And the Hebrews writer, speaking of his offspring, would take it a step further and say that God is the father of spirits. All that being true, Jesus would add this thought, that you and I have both a body and a soul. Fear not them which can kill the body but cannot harm the soul, but rather fear him which can destroy both body and soul in hell. You and I this morning are not simply comprised of physical matter. You will die, yes, but God is not the God of the dead. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 2. Imagine God talking to you and God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. That doesn't mean Moses has ceased to live. No, you see, in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, Moses and Elijah appear in glory talking to Jesus about his passion. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus is transfigured before the apostles. Matthew 22:23-32, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Those men are very much alive when God is talking to Moses. The point is simply this, friends. When you consider your death, you must also consider this. That's not the end. These two men died, and then Jesus said, in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus. Both of them are very much alive, and so too will you be. People say we need to live for the here and now. No, you need to live for the there and then. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. Friends, you are going into eternity. Have you made preparations for that? But then thirdly, Jesus tells us something vitally important and of great interest to us all, and that's this. There will be no relief, no reprieve from suffering. There will be no relief, no reprieve from suffering. We hear the rich man speaking to Abraham. The Bible says he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received good things and Lazarus like manner bad things, but now he is comforting, you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm, a great gulf fixed, so that no one can pass from one side to the other, that we can't come to you and you can't come to us. It's interesting, when you're reading the Bible talks at great length about the mercy of God. In fact, God is to be praised for his mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. The psalmist says, for his mercy endures forever. You might want to look up the word forever. It's not always synonymous with eternal. While God's character will forever be, and so God is in his character ever merciful. His character does not change, but the extension of that mercy to you ends at the grave. When you leave here, God can extend you no more mercy. Somebody say, well, you can't limit God. Friends, you're absolutely right. Wouldn't it be ludicrous for me to try? Can you imagine a man, dirt, standing up telling a group of other dirtites, just made it up, brand new right now, somebody patent that, dirtites said that. Imagine me trying to convince you that I had the power to resist God or to limit God somehow. It's one of the reasons that we're constantly asking people, do you believe the Bible? The Bible is all we have to know the mind of God. That's all we got. And to believe the Bible then is to believe what God said about himself. And if God said it, then friends, that's all it is. If he said it, then it's true. And if I say what he said, then I'm simply agreeing with him. It's not me limiting him as if I could. It's me agreeing with him. And what Jesus just told us is, when we die, a soul is in Hades crying out for mercy, and Abraham says, no mercy will be given. Now, friends, listen, you need to believe that. Character of God won't change, but his mercy can't be extended to you beyond the grave. For one reason, Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die after this. Not mercy, not second chances. Not purgatories. After this, the judgment. Friends, you can't get. Can you imagine? And the Bible never teaches there's evangelism in the grave. Now, you can't get a soul to obey it today, but can't you imagine how many people would come up out of Hades if we got an invitation to come out beyond the grave? Well, there wouldn't be nobody in Hades if you got second chances. You think people are foolish on this side. Now, that's a level of foolishness we wouldn't even be able to speak about it, man. You're not coming out of... Does this rich man sound like he don't want out? Have mercy on me, Father Abraham. Send Lazarus. And at this point, if we were talking about this rich man, we might begin to see a shift in his thinking. Whereas once he fared sumptuously every day, now what's he asking for? You know, the King James Version of the Bible says, dip the tip. Dip the tip of his finger in water. That verse and that phrase has always captured my mind. I've been thirsty on one or two occasions. I haven't been stationed in 29 Palms, California. A nice big sandbox out there. Been thirsty once or twice. And when you're thirsty, nobody is asking for somebody to dip the tip of their finger in water. Now listen, you can't hold that much water on the tip of your... Try it when you get home. Scientific experiment. Try it. Get you a good glass of water. Dip the tip of your finger, and then by the time you bring it out, whatever was on there is gone. And what the man is asking is, send Lazarus, not with a glass, not with a cup, not with a bucket. You send Lazarus over here if you could. Tell him on the way to dip the tip of his finger in some water and cool my tongue. There is no reprieve. There is no mercy beyond the grave. Abraham says, son, remember. What that means is you will be able to. Remember. What is he asking him to remember? Your life. Remember in your life. He can remember in his life. Remember how you received good things. He can remember the life he had. Remember how Lazarus. He can remember. You know what that means? It suggests to me is you will remember how many times you spurned the Savior's invitation. You remember how many times somebody who loved you sat with you and said, "Huh, you need to obey the gospel. Listen, you need to obey the gospel. You need to obey the gospel. Let me talk to you. Let me try and share. Let me help you. No, no, I know you're religious. I know you believe. But listen, let me help you. Let me show you. Here in the Bible, see, that's not right. And that's not true. And here's the plan of salvation. Here's what you need." And how many times you said, no. I'm doing my way. I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to go with my way. How many times are you in the middle of God's people? Somebody inviting you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get around to it. I'm on my way. You know, one of these days, I've had people meet me at the back door. Hey, man, come on, obey to God. I'm going to get around to it. I hug them. Hey, man, we love you. Come on, come on. Do the right thing. You know you need to. Yeah, I'm going to get there. One of these days, if you get to the grave before you get to Jesus, then friends, you will remember. And you will remember that eternally. You will maybe just remind yourself, I didn't have to be here. And maybe you'll ask yourself, why didn't I? Why didn't I come to Jesus? Why didn't I? What was it that I was holding on to that kept me from Jesus and now has me in this place forever? Son, remember. Some people believe in this notion that, well, when you go down there and you die, you in Hades, you're in the unseen, the grave for a little while. And coincidentally, this is not hell yet. It's Hades. Hadean realm is the unseen. That's what the grave is called. I think it was McGarvey who said the Jews didn't quite have a word for that. When they could see you, when you died and they couldn't see your soul anymore, they said Hades, the unseen. That's where you went. They couldn't see you anymore. So your soul's in the unseen. But the unseen is just the temporary abode for spirits. And if you were to draw a circle on a piece of paper and then divide that in half, you'd have two compartments to this place. And one of those places is called paradise, which is why the Bible can say Jesus went to hell. Well, really, when Jesus died, he went to paradise. You remember, he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's the Hadean realm, that circle. One side of it is called paradise. It's where Lazarus and Abraham are. That great gulf fixed between the two that you cannot cross over, the rich man is on the side called torments. Now, this is not the end. You see, if you were to die, your soul is going to one of those places. And know this, friends, where your soul goes when you die is where you'll be raised and go there eternally. Now, the other two options are these. You see, this place one day will be cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, John says. So when souls are raised from the grave, and we'll all be raised at the same time, John 5:28-29, the hour is coming. We're all, they that were in the grave, going to hear his voice. Those who are on the side of paradise will rise and they will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Those people will meet the Lord in the clouds, and there they shall ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But then those people on the side of torments will rise as well, be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Those people will go into everlasting destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Now know this, friends, you and I talk about the judgment, and so some people have this idea that when you rise, you'll get a chance. And friends, there'll be no chances. You know, if you were to think about it this way, with regards to this Hadean realm, judgment in some very real sense has already happened. Here's what I mean. Let's say I go out. I'll use me because there are no criminals in this building, so I just use myself. Let's say I committed a crime. And let's say, because I watched some of those CSI things, I left some DNA. And it don't take much, apparently. A hair and an eyelash. There's some DNA on it. They'll find you. And let's say they found me, got me, tried me, and the jury came back and said, guilty of all charges. What's going to happen to me next is I'm going into jail. But I'm waiting for something. And when I come back before the judge, I'm going to be sentenced. In a very real sense, that's the way this is going to work out. When you die, and your soul goes to torments or paradise, you've largely been judged. At the resurrection, what you're going to do is be sentenced. And from that point on, but see, you're already judged. It's not like you're coming out of the side of torments to get over here to paradise. It's not like you go into paradise and somehow you could lose it when you're resurrected and come over here to torment. It really can't happen that way. And so, friends, you need to understand that this next point is why all that's pertinent, and that's this. According to Jesus, you ever had a fight at the house and then leave without your keys? One of them good ones where you get the last word in and you shut the door, walk out, and you're like, I gotta go back in. That's what's happening now. I had a great point going, and then this thing wouldn't flick. Like, I had you, right? And then now I'm sitting here. Kevin? Somebody? Kevin said go. It's me now. Here's the point. This is the warning. Once the rich man couldn't get Abraham to have mercy, and he could not get out, he said this. He said, then I beg you. I beg you, Father, to send him, Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers. so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they, your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Point number one. This is the warning. Point number two. The rich man has become concerned for others. Nobody wants to be in this place, and nobody wants anybody else in this place. He first asked for himself. Send him to help comfort me. Can't do it. Well, send him back to warn my brothers. What the rich man must remember about his brothers is that the life they're living, if it goes unchanged, will bring them to the place where he is. And so he wants them warned. But Abraham said, no. I asked you earlier, do you believe the Bible? You see, some Christians believe in ghosts. Some Christians believe that stuff. Some Christians believe in the zodiac. Idolatrous stuff. Some Christians believe that stuff. Some Christians believe in horoscopes. So some Christians believe in luck. And four-leaf clovers and rabbit's foots and jinx and black cats and some Christians. Now, why they believe it, I don't know. Because you shouldn't be able to hold a belief in the inspiration of God's Bible and believe that. You shouldn't be able to do that. The one should cancel the other. It should. And yet people do. People believe that people come back from the dead. They believe it. Some people believe in ghost hunters on Travel Channel. Got a metal box with a Geiger counter. if it was so sad, it'd be funny. You got an infrared. We greet it. I've seen Ghostbusters. This looks like Ghostbusters. But we got green. I feel the spirits in this side of this house. I seen that lady on TV and just sat there with my mouth gaped wide open at both her and the audience. The medium? Really? You know how good I could be at that job? You have any idea the imagination I have? You think I couldn't sit on a stage and say, I feel the presence? Listen, read these verses again and ask yourself, do you believe the Bible? Abraham said, they wouldn't be convinced even if. Maybe Abraham knows this. If somebody came back from the dead, you'd be more scared than anything. And then you deny it. I just didn't get enough sleep last night. I ate too late. The greens were, Sister Owens fed me some devil greens some time ago. I ain't gonna let her forget it. I'm not, Charlie, I'm not. She said, you ate them too late at night. I said, do the greens have a clock? Do the greens know what time it is? Another story, another day. Hey, friends, listen. God is trying to tell us something. God is trying to tell us about eternity. God is trying to warn us through his word. In fact, he says they have Moses and the prophets, Old Testament. If we were making that statement today, we would say they have Christ and the apostles, New Testament. What are we doing? We're warning people. What are we saying? Come to Jesus before it's eternally too late. Friends, let me ask you this. Have you prepared for eternity? The rich man and Lazarus are in the Bible to teach us some very important truths. Jesus is the one who gave the parable. Jesus is telling us death is coming for us all. Friends, every one of us has to go that way. But it's not the end. We're going to live beyond the grave. We're going to. Everybody's going to live somewhere. And despite what people say, the Bible teaches there's no reprieve, there's no relief, there's no mercy, there's no way out. Friends, there's nobody coming back with any special warnings and signs and symbols. That time is right now. And that message is God's word. Will you believe it this morning? Will you come to Jesus believing that he is the Son of God? John 8:24. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Where I am, you cannot come. Will you repent? Marshall Keeble says of the word repentance, it means to back up. Will you back up? Will you change your life? Will you turn the direction of your life around? Change your mind. Change your heart. Tell yourself and anybody, I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for Jesus. I want to walk with the Savior. I want to follow him. Will you confess his name? Peter says, as there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, there's just something about that name, the special, precious name of Jesus. Would you stand and say, I believe in Jesus? Would you be counted with the number who confess the name of Jesus? And then would you submit to being immersed in water? Romans 6:3-4, the Apostle Paul calls it a death, a burial, and a resurrection. You emulate the Savior's death, burial, and resurrection by the obedience to the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Friends, if you've never done that, you need to. It's the only way to be saved. It's the only way to be covered by his blood. It's the only way so that when death comes, there need not be any fear, because those in Christ are victorious even over death. Friends, if you are his child, you believe the Bible, you believe in Jesus, have you made plans? Are you living right? If not, then come home. None of us in here have any guarantees. I say that because one of these days, friends, one of these days, just as sure as we sit here, one of these days, it'll happen. One of these days, we'll be sitting here saying, you know, it could happen, and then it'll happen. But if not here, if not today, if not one of us around this world, somebody is going into eternity. They're either prepared or they're unprepared. Will you make preparations to meet Jesus? As we stand and as we sing.